Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. Now, for those of you with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. Within the tall, narrow box on the right-hand side of the page, click on the link labeled Follow the Meeting. This provides the order of service, along with links to the words of the hymns and other information. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Now, let's begin today's meeting with singing hymn number 176. Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Science and Health, an Overview. The remaining hymns are numbers 334 and 252. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. Revelation. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Isaiah and Jeremiah. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by precept of men, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. St. Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and healed them. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Revelation. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go, and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it, and eat it up. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. For the time at hand. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Hebrews. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. To do thy will, O God. And correlative passages from Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy. Preface. To those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessing. A book introduces new thoughts, but it cannot make them speedily understood. The time for thinkers has come. Since the author's discovery of the might of truth in the treatment of disease, as well as of sin, her system has been fully tested and has not been found wanting. But to reach the heights of Christian Science, man must live in obedience to its divine principle. In the spirit of Christ's charity, as one who hopeth all things, endureth all things, and is joyful to bear consolation to the sorrowing and healing to the sick, she commits these pages to honest seekers for truth. Mary Baker Eddy. Science and Health, Chapter 1, Prayer. The prayer that reforms the sinner and heals the sick is an absolute faith that all things are possible to God, a spiritual understanding of Him, an unselfed love. Regardless of what another may say or think on this subject, I speak from experience. Prayer, watching and working, combined with self-immolation, are God's gracious means for accomplishing whatever has been successfully done for the Christianization and health of mankind. Desire is prayer, and no loss can occur from trusting God with our desires, that they may be molded and exalted before they take form in words and in deeds. Chapter 2, Atonement and Eucharist. Atonement is the exemplification of man's unity with God, whereby man reflects divine truth, life, and love. Jesus of Nazareth taught and demonstrated man's oneness with the Father, and for this we owe him endless homage. Our Eucharist is spiritual communion with the one God. Our bread, which cometh down from heaven, is truth. Our cup is the cross. Our wine, the inspiration of love, the draught our Master drank and commended to his followers. Chapter 3, Marriage. When our great teacher came to him for baptism, John was astounded. Jesus' concessions, in certain cases to material methods, were for the advancement of spiritual good. Marriage is the legal and moral provision for generation among humankind. Until the spiritual creation is discerned intact, is apprehended and understood, and his kingdom is come, as in the vision of the Apocalypse, where the corporeal sense of creation was cast out and its spiritual sense was revealed from heaven, marriage will continue, subject to such moral regulations as will secure increasing virtue. Chapter 4, Christian Science versus Spiritualism. Mortal existence is an enigma. Every day is a mystery. The testimony of the corporeal senses cannot inform us what is real and what is delusive, but the revelations of Christian Science unlock the treasures of truth. The basis and structure of spiritualism are alike material and physical. Its spirits are so many corporealities, limited and finite in character and quality. Spiritualism, therefore, presupposes spirit, which is ever infinite, to be a corporeal being, a finite form, a theory contrary to Christian Science. Chapter 5, Animal Magnetism Unmasked. Mesmerism, or animal magnetism, was first brought into notice by Mesmer in Germany in 1775. According to the American Encyclopedia, he regarded this so-called force, which he said could be exerted by one living organism over another, as a means of alleviating disease. The author's own observations of the workings of animal magnetism convince her that it is not a remedial agent, and that its effects upon those who practice it, and upon their subjects who do not resist it, lead to moral and to physical death. In no instance is the effect of animal magnetism, recently called hypnotism, other than the effect of illusion. Chapter 6, Science, Theology, Medicine. In the year 1866, I discovered the Christ science, or divine laws of life, truth, and love, and named my discovery Christian Science. Through Christian Science, religion and medicine are inspired with a diviner nature and essence. Fresh pinions are given to faith and understanding, and thoughts acquaint themselves intelligently with God. In their spiritual significance, science, theology, and medicine are means of divine thought, which includes spiritual laws emanating from the invisible and infinite power and grace. Chapter 7, Physiology. Physiology is one of the apples from the tree of knowledge. Evil declared that eating this fruit would open man's eyes and make him as a god. Instead of so doing, it closed the eyes of mortals to man's God-given dominion over the earth. Obedience to the so-called physical laws of health has not checked sickness. Diseases have multiplied since man-made material theories took the place of spiritual truth. As a man thinketh, so is he. Chapter 8, Footsteps of Truth. The best sermon ever preached is truth practiced and demonstrated by the destruction of sin, sickness, and death. One's aim, a point beyond faith, should be to find the footsteps of truth, the way to health and holiness. We should strive to reach the Horeb height where God is revealed, and the cornerstone of all spiritual building is purity. The baptism of spirit, washing the body of all the impurities of flesh, signifies that the pure in heart see God and are approaching spiritual life and its demonstration. Chapter 9, Creation. Eternal truth is changing the universe. As mortals drop off their mental swaddling clothes, thought expands into expression. Let there be light is the perpetual demand of truth and love, changing chaos into order and discord into the music of the spheres. All things are created spiritually. Mind, not matter, is the creator. Love, the divine principle, is the father and mother of the universe, including man. Chapter 10, Science of Being. In the material world, thought has brought to light with great rapidity many useful wonders. With like activity have thought's swift pinions been rising towards the realm of the real, to the spiritual cause of those lower things which give impulse to inquiry. Belief in a material basis, from which may be deduced all rationality, is slowly yielding to the idea of a metaphysical basis, looking away from matter to mind as the cause of every effect. Metaphysics resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. Chapter 11, Some Objections Answered. The strictures on this volume would condemn to oblivion the truth which is raising up thousands from helplessness to strength and elevating them from a theoretical to a practical Christianity. If Christianity is not scientific and science is not of God, then there is no invariable law and truth becomes an accident. Is not finite mind ignorant of God's method? The sick, the halt, and the blind look up to Christian science with blessing, and truth will not be forever hidden by unjust parody from the quickened sense of the people. Chapter 12, Christian Science Practice. It is related in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel that Jesus was once the honored guest of a certain Pharisee by name Simon, though he was quite unlike Simon the disciple. While they were at meat, an unusual incident occurred, as if to interrupt the scene of Oriental festivity. Here is suggested a solemn question, a question indicated by one of the needs of this age. Do Christian scientists seek truth as Simon sought the Savior through material conservatism and for personal homage? If the scientist has enough Christly affection to win his own pardon, and such commendation as the Magdalene gained from Jesus, then he is Christian enough to practice scientifically and deal with his patients compassionately, and the result will correspond with a spiritual intent. Chapter 13, Teaching Christian Science. When the discoverer of Christian Science is consulted by her followers as to the propriety, advantage, and consistency of systematic medical study, she tries to show them that under ordinary circumstances, a resort to faith and corporeal means tends to deter those who make such a compromise from entire confidence in omnipotent mind as really possessing all power. The teacher must make clear to students that the science of healing, especially its ethics, that all is mind, and that the scientist must conform to God's requirements. There is great danger in teaching mind healing indiscriminately, thus disregarding the morals of the student and caring only for the fees. Love for God and man is the true incentive in both healing and teaching. Chapter 14, Recapitulation. This chapter is from the first edition of the author's class book, copyrighted in 1870. Absolute Christian Science pervades its statements to elucidate scientific metaphysics. Question: what is substance? Answer: substance is that which is eternal and incapable of discord and decay. Question: what is life? Answer: life is divine principle, mind, soul, spirit. Question: how can I most rapidly progress in the understanding of Christian Science? Answer: study thoroughly the letter and imbibe the spirit. Ask yourself, am I living the life that approaches the supreme good? Am I demonstrating the healing power of truth and love? If so, then the way will grow brighter unto the perfect day. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. Key to the Scriptures. Chapter 15, Genesis. Scientific interpretation of the Scriptures properly starts with the beginning of the Old Testament, chiefly because the spiritual import of the word in its earliest articulations often seems so smothered by the immediate context as to require explication. A second necessity for beginning with Genesis is that the living and real prelude of the older scriptures is so brief that it would almost seem, from the preponderance of unreality in the entire narrative, as if reality did not predominate over unreality, the light over the dark, the straight line of spirit over the mortal deviations and inverted images of the Creator and His creation. Spiritually followed, the book of Genesis is the history of the untrue image of God, named a sinful mortal. This deflection of being, rightly viewed, serves to suggest the proper reflection of God and the spiritual actuality of man, as given in the first chapter of Genesis. Even thus, the crude forms of human thought take on higher symbols and significations when scientifically Christian views of the universe appear, illuminating time with the glory of eternity. Chapter 16, The Apocalypse. St. John writes in the 10th chapter of his book of Revelation, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud." This angel, or message which comes from God, clothed with a cloud, prefigures divine science. To mortal sense, science seems at first obscure, abstract, and dark, but a bright promise crowns its brow. When understood, it is truth's prism and praise. This angel had in his hand a little book, open for all to read and understand. The inaudible voice of truth is to the human mind as when a lion roareth. It is heard in the desert and in dark places of fear. Then will a voice from harmony cry, go and take the little book, take it and eat it up. Mortals, obey the heavenly evangel. Chapter 17, Glossary. In Christian Science, we learn that the substitution of the spiritual for the material definition of a scriptural word often elucidates the meaning of the inspired writer. On this account, this chapter is added. It contains the metaphysical interpretation of Bible terms, giving their spiritual sense, which is also their original meaning. Angels, God's thoughts passing to man, spiritual intuitions, pure and perfect. Christ, the divine manifestation of God, which comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error. Children of Israel, some of the ideas of God beheld as men, casting out error and healing the sick. Christ's offspring. Chapter 18, Fruitage. Thousands of letters could be presented in testimony of the healing efficacy of Christian Science, and particularly concerning the vast number of people who have been reformed and healed through the perusal or study of this book. The first edition of Science and Health was published in 1875. The author has not compromised conscience to suit the general drift of thought, but has bluntly and honestly given the text of truth. By thousands of well-authenticated cases of healing, she and her students have proved the worth of her teachings. The divine principle of healing is proved in the personal experience of any sincere seeker of truth. The proof that the system stated in this book is Christianly scientific resides in the good this system accomplishes, for it cures on a divine, demonstrable principle which all may understand. Take divine science. Read this book from beginning to end. Study it. Ponder it. And this concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.